Hi, my name is Miko and I'm an addict. And this is NA is a roadmap. My friends say that I am protected by God. My story should have ended in jail, mental institution, or cemetery. I have been to the first two and I have seen my younger sister and many of my friends die from overdose. But I have been in recovery for almost 17 years, and due to a strange coincidence, I was born in 1953, the same year Narcotics Anonymous was born to the world. Maybe my friends are right. I was born in Lisbon, the only male in a family of six women, my grandmother, my mother, and four sisters. I felt protected by my family and my neighborhood. Life seems to be about either demanding things to happen or using my strength to get things done. When I left the protection of my neighborhood to enter secondary school, I was scared. Anger became my best defense. And at the age of 14, I found drugs. They become my best allies. In 1974, I ran away to Holland to avoid arrest. A few months later, the Portuguese dictatorship was overthrown. The revolution made it possible for me to return home. During that time of anarchy and confusion, I found pride and security dealing drugs with a gang. If you close your eyes and imagine everything an addict can do to feed his obsession, you can be sure I did it all. Narcotics Anonymous found me in a mental institution at the age of 36. During one of the many detoxes I had undergone in 22 years of active addiction, a group of addicts decided not to go to the beach in that heat of the Lisbon summer and instead carried the NA message into an institution. When I left the institution, I went with a friend to my first NA meeting. After my third meeting, I decided that Narcotics Anonymous group were a good place to deal drugs safely because everybody said they had a desire to use. They seemed to have money and they spoke about confidentiality. At my fifth meeting, they explained that the room were not a place to sell drugs. They were a place to learn to live without them. I decided NA was not for me and left. I had spent more than half of my life using. I was sick and tired and could not live with or without drugs. I wanted to stop using, but did not know how. At the time, I didn't know I had a disease. All I knew was that I could not stay a minute without using. When I couldn't sleep, I would hurt myself so that physical pain would distract me from the distress I felt inside. I continued using for another year. In June 1990, I decided to camp with my seven-year-old daughter in an isolated part of southern Portugal. I thought that because I loved her, I would be able not to use. But each night, I left my child alone in a tent and drove as much as 600 kilometers in order to use just one more time. Soon I had no more money. My daughter cried for food. I went to a restaurant and asked for food for her and wine for me. I had a plan. While my daughter ate, I would steal a car and drive to Lisbon. With the sale of a car I could use again. I convinced myself that because she could say her mother's phone number, she would be safe. When I walked through the door, I heard people laughing. Insane as I was, I believed that they were laughing at me. I headed for their table to beat them and make them stop. When I approached the group, I recognized them and they recognized me. They were NA members who went to that meeting where I had arrived a year earlier. Like a miracle, my anger was gone, and they invited my daughter and me to sit with them. They paid for our dinner, listened to my complaints, and told me that I needed a meeting. I tried to convince them that I needed money to buy drugs. Finally, I agreed to a meeting, hoping I would make them change their mind. They got a basic text from the car, and we had a meeting in the woods by the road. During that meeting, which today I consider my first, I cried my soul out. I cried for all the years of anguish and desperation. They put gas in my car, and I went home with the promise that I would go back to meetings. I went even though I couldn't stop using. With the help of friends in NA, I was institutionalized and have not used since. My first year in recovery was fabulous, learning to taste the basic pleasures of life and the simple fact of being clean, to be able to sleep, to eat, to bath, and not have diarrhea was more than enough. The meeting were an enchantment, and laughing, the sharing, the shame of my first dance in recovery, the friendship, the availability of other members, service meeting, the fight for a service position, the enthusiasm to carry the message to the still suffering addict, everything was a wonder. During my second year in recovery, my sponsor was diagnosed with cancer, and I moved in to take care of him. I admired his recovery, and he was the one who helped me believe I was capable of staying clean. He didn't want to take painkillers, even though his pain was enormous. I was confused. It seems unreasonable to endure such suffering. I was frightened, insecure, and tired. I worked during the day and took care of him at night. Because I did not leave him alone, I no longer went to meetings. I needed my sponsor, but I was ill and needed, but he was ill and needed me. One sleepless night, I considered killing him. The strength of that thought scared me. I no longer used drugs, but anger still lived in me and manifested itself every time I was invaded by fear. I started to see myself again as a bad person, without principles, capable of doing terrible things. Finally, he was hospitalized. I was alone and scared and began to have one relationship after the other. I didn't want to use again, but I needed something to take away the anguish. I started a vicious circle. The more I avoided drugs by using people, the more shame and resentment I felt. Service became a tool to impose my will on others. I fought with a member in front of the group, and people started to criticize me. I was avoiding meetings. When I was offered a job outside of Lisbon, I did not think twice. I ran away. I didn't go to meetings. The closest one was 250 kilometers away, and did not speak to my sponsor. I got involved in another relationship, but I didn't even knew how to live with myself. When she left me for someone else, I felt lost and meaningless. A few days later, my sponsor called to ask how I was doing. We spoke for an hour, and I told him that NA didn't work for me. He asked, "How can you say that if you did not give the program a chance? How about giving yourself a chance too? Why don't you start working the steps?" Those simple questions flashed like a lightning bolt. I started to work the steps with my sponsor, who helped me to realize the depth of my disease. When I was 6 years old, I had been paralyzed with rheumatic fever. My healing took a long time, and I couldn't run or play. I felt different from the other boys and felt crippled and couldn't understand the difference between limitation and deficiency. Remembering that I quit the treatment for that disease as soon as I could, and the obsessive way I started to compete with others to be the best, no matter what, helped me to understand the power of my denial. When I started working step two, I needed to trust something outside of me. I needed to be with other addicts. I accepted an opportunity to work with addicts professionally. At the same time, a friend and I started an NA meeting. At the beginning, there was just the two of us, but little by little, newcomers arrived. We did hospitals and institution service work at a jail, a day at a time, a meeting at a time. We grew. We formed an area and organized our first convention. I felt alive again and had an objective in life. But I started to have problems with my boss, who wanted to stop me from going to an NA meeting. I refused. Twice I had turned my back on Narcotics Anonymous and my life had become a nightmare. I would not make that same mistake again. I was fired and returned to Lisbon. I felt insecure and afraid of what people might think of me. But this time, things were different. I had Narcotics Anonymous in my life and the desire to change. I found that 12 steps of NA are a roadmap that show me the best direction to get to my destination, to view others with respect and consideration, to learn to value myself and accept life on its own terms, and to stop living based on fantasy, to abandon the idea that I am the center of the universe. In Lisbon, I kept doing service work and going to meetings regularly. I was welcomed in a room with open arms. And if there were critical voices, they didn't touch my heart. I found a group where I felt comfortable, and it is still my home group. My life became a constant exercise in awakening and learning. I learned to forgive myself and to take responsibility for my change and growth. The spirituality NA talked about is for me the quality of the relationship I build with myself, with my life, God as I understand him, and with others. Working the spiritual principles of the program with the help of steps 5, 6, and 7 is the vehicle that helps me travel this path. When I had 9 years clean, two things happened. My sponsor relapsed and my daughter, who has been 16, came to my life to live with me. The loss of my sponsor and the happiness of having my daughter with me were contradictory, emotion that I lived simultaneously. I came to realize that life is a constant sum of good and bad moments. And the only thing I can control in my attitude is my attitude. The trace of my character will never leave me, but I can learn healthy management of them. Living with my daughter has helped me learn to share my space and accept others as they are. Involvement in service helped me to accept that other people's ideas are as important as my own. NA is not a place for me and others, but rather for us. My faith in Narcotics Anonymous was refreshed by the heart work and dedication of our work together for the evaluation of NA. For me, it was a spiritual awakening to realize that in spite of our differences, our common purpose is the same and is what actually binds us together. For many years, my perception of fellowship was only a bit wider than my country's boundary. The opportunity to live the reality of a universal NA is a great spiritual experience that is difficult to put in words. I owe my life to NA because it did not let me die from drugs, but also because I was reborn as a human being. On my daughter's 20th birthday, my father died. Once again, life was offering me good and bad, happiness and grief, death and life side by side. I had the chance to be with my father in his last hours of life, to be friends with him again after being separated from him by my addiction. Our eyes met and we were able to say goodbye without having to use words. That same day, we celebrated life, my daughter's birthday, at a family dinner. Today, I feel like a different man, capable of respecting my family. I'm proud. I'm a proud father and a happy man. I'm privileged. I like my profession, and I enjoy the material goods I've been able to acquire. More important, my family and friends love me and respect me. My fellow and members help me to be conscious that I have a disease that never rests, and that only through Narcotics Anonymous program can I learn to keep it from taking over my life again. For 3 years, I was unable to establish a relationship with another sponsor. I was one of the members with the most clean time in my country, who still went to meeting and did regular service work. I tried sponsorship at a distance, but that didn't work. For me, intimacy is still very difficult, and distance and lack of personal contact make that task even more difficult. During those years, the rooms, service, and my sponsees were my support system. A year ago, I started a new sponsorship relationship. It isn't easy, but I won't give up because I want to keep on working the steps and growing as a person. Recently, at another birthday dinner for my daughter, I managed to ask her a question I had in mind for some years. What kind of father as I have been? She answered, "You taught me values, principles, and to live with dignity. My heart almost burst with love and gratitude. I can only give what I have. And if I gave her all this, it is because I first received it from you, the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous."
Beautiful, beautiful. So at this time, I would like to introduce Joao. I almost got Joao P from Portugal.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you, Miko, for accepting my invitation to read my story. Although I have been cheated earlier by reading it before you, I still feel emotional by listening to your reading. You are right. It is a very particular experience to listen to your story being read by others, by other addicts. And especially for you, Miko, we have a 5-6 years story together, doing service on a European and world level. We have nice memories. I have nice memories. I also have memories of disagreement with you, but I never, and you with me, but I never doubt your love for the fellowship and your love for me, as I hope you never doubt that I love you. This is also another thing that Narcotics Anonymous gave me. We do love people even if we don't see them every day. I was listening to my story and obviously I went back on it. And I've been thinking, well, my life nowadays is not very different from what I said before. I'm still on the road to recovery. I'm still finding moments where here in Portugal we have nice roads, but also we have very, very bad roads with a lot of holes and very dangerous too. And I believe my journey in recovery is like that. It's still a road that I travel. And my car is still the same. It's Narcotics Anonymous, the principles I learned, the person I became, the maturity I gained through the years just by being there, not giving up, always keeping in mind that nothing lasts forever, not the good moments, not the bad moments. And when things go bad, all I have to do is to stay quiet, hold on to my friends, hold on to an A program, hold on to my sponsors. By the way, the sponsor I start a relationship with, he broke the relationship with me. He said he was not able to help me. I don't know why, but I don't give up. I managed to find ways to survive on this road. One thing I know for sure, using drugs is not the solution. One thing I know, that even if life is challenging you on the most hard ways, using drugs is not the solution. And I find through Narcotics Anonymous and by working the steps, other ways to deal with it, by sharing, by asking for help. And sometimes asking for help just to find someone available to listen to me. You don't need to say anything, just listen to me. Because when I'm in a bad moments and also in the good moments, to share about it, it's a relief. And helps me focus on what is really important. It remembers the person I was before I found Narcotics Anonymous, and even in the very beginning of my recovery. Because I consider my journey in two levels. The first level is the level of change. Yes. And it was wonderful. And the second level, that's where I am now, is the level of adaptation. My biggest difficulties now is to adapt myself to the new realities around me. My last 5 years were not been easy. 5-6 years ago, I went through a treatment for my hepatitis. It was still the whole treatment. And it really, really, really put me down. As you remember in my story, when I was a young kid, I had a rheumatic fever, so I became with a heart condition that stayed with me for a long, long, since I was born, actually, since that happened till now. And with that treatment to hepatitis C, my heart went down. I had to have open chest surgery. I have to have I don't know how to say it in English, but part of my heart has to be substituted by a mechanical valve. I was diagnosed diabetic. And this year, last year actually, in December, I caught COVID. On this process, my wife lost his father and his mother, and she relapsed with 22 years clean. It was a tragic moment for me, most for her, of course, but it was something I was not expecting, so I suffered a lot with that. But for as bad as it is, I know things will get better. living in recovery. Stop doing. I may not follow many suggestions our program gave us, but there's one I've been I forgot the expression in English. I'm going to look for another one. That one I never forgot is to do service. I ever did service, initially for the wrong reasons, after for, I believe, the good reasons, and lately because I need to be involved in Narcotics Anonymous, either going to meetings or doing service. So I do service. From home, and I was saying that I'm a student. Whenever things go bad, I remember other times in my life where things are. So I keep on doing my service. I come to that if I hold on time enough, things go better. Lately, as it was said before, I was hospitalized with COVID. I really thought I wouldn't survive to it. My whole disease, the picture was not nice, and all my friends thought I will never be seen. My first days were terrible. I saw people on the same room that I was being taken away in plastic bags. And I was thinking when my turn will come. But for some reasons, I never lost my conscience. Thought is to pray. I don't waste time thinking about what God means to me or whatever. It's just a name. We can call it God, we can call it Nicole, we can call it whatever. But I do believe that when I pray, pray is getting in touch with my conscience, getting in touch with my limitations. For me, it's what I was praying. And normally I pray using the Serenity Prayer to be able to understand the things that are in my hand, and I can change, I can do something about it, and the other things I cannot. It was just that way to pray, because sometimes accepting and resignation seem to be the same thing, but it's not. It's not. Resignation is about having or not having hope. And accepting is about having hope and belief. And I do believe in a higher power. I don't care what name I have to give him. But I do believe, because when I do the things I'm asked to do is sharing about how I'm feeling, be honest with myself, showing myself as I am. Because if I don't do that, what I'm offering to the other people is a lie, it's not me. And the relationship based on a lie doesn't work. So when I do that, when I'm able to follow the suggestions this program gave me, to be vulnerable, to be truth, to be honest, to listen to others, things maybe don't get resolved, but they get lighter, more easier to spot. As I told you before, I'm not going through a nice phase of my life. After I wrote that story, I found a beautiful woman, the woman I fell in love with whom I was for 17 years. After she relapsed, I have to decide if I was able to forgive her, if I may say so, because I believe forgiveness is for God, not for me. But I have to decide if it was easy, if it was possible for me to keep living with someone I mistrust, someone that cheated me, that lied to me, because she was using for 1 year without me noticing, because our working schedule were different, our friends were different. When I got suspicious of her behavior and I confronted her, she said that she was tired by the work, I believe her. So I really try to keep that relationship because I do love her. But lately we decided that it would be better for us to divorce. So that's where we are now. It's very painful for me. Sorry. It's fucking difficult for me, but that's life. What can I do? So that's my second stage of recovery, adapting to new reality. The new reality of being divorced at the age of almost 70 years old, adapting to the new reality of getting old, not being able to see, to do things that I would like to still be doing, adapting to the fact that my physical illness gave me limitations beyond my addictive limitations. So adapting and accepting could be the title of my second part of my story. But in spite of all this, when I talk with newcomers, and sometimes they listen to me sharing, and they come to me and ask me, if with all these problems, being in recovery is worth, because we are supposed to get in recovery to be happy. And lately, happiness, at least the outside happiness, is not something that is part of my life. And what I answer to them is yes. Yes, it was. Yes. For us addicts, there's no other option. Being in the recovery is the only way we have to enjoy life on its terms. Sometimes it goes according to my plans, other times don't. Sometimes it goes according to my schedule. Sometimes it happens on life schedule, which is different from me, from mine. So, yes, I still believe life is like that, is a merry-go-round, ups and downs. And I just needed to learn how to live with it. And that's my focus, my personal focus. is to accept life on his own terms, not wishing that life would be different, because recovery in life is not the result of a wish, of a desire, is the result of an action, of an attitude, of doing. It's why my prayers are based on serenity prayer, for me to be aware of what I cannot do and what I cannot do. So I am a blessed man, honestly. I am a blessed man. I used to joke with my birth date. I was born in 1953, the same year that N.A. raised for the world. And I said that when I was born, God looked at me and said, oh, what have I done? What the kind of mistake I've done by bringing this guy to life. I need to repair it. So he created N.A. because he knew someday I will be needing something to put me back on track. I could be sitting here sharing with you all the wonderful things I got from Narcotics Anonymous, but I think I can tell you in basic and short words is that I'm alive because of NA. I'm here at this moment talking with you, sharing with you my experience because of NA. I'm grateful for that. I want to thank you again, Francis, for inviting me to share with you, and Nico to be there and to read my story, and to all of you guys that have the patience to listen to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Joao.